There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 892, June 28th, 2021, Nasser.
I'm doing very good. I'm kind of concerned for your Roscoe. I think he needs some Alpo.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Mercedes can't believe they're not winning. LCH thinks Red Bull is cheating. Fernando happy with simply some points. And I just want to remind everybody, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Every dollar helps to keep this program on the servers, everybody. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. Thank you, Roscoe. You know you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Good, good. So, sir, you are in a very good mood. Let's find out the reason.
The reason is the demise of the Fourth Reich.
Whoa, pretty heavy there.
I am heavy, heavy, heavy. But, you know, they've been dominating. My favorite quote from our friend Toto was, "We've never lacked in pace in 8 years." Can you imagine 8 years of never lacking for pace? I mean, who in the world does he think he is?
Well, you know, all good things come to an end. Nothing is forever. And looks like Christian Horner was right when he said, if we can win at Paul Ricard, we can win anywhere. Lewis and Toto may have to go into the F1 Weekly sponsored DNF Chapel for some divine intervention to get championship number 8 for LCH. But, you know, as I said before the season started, this is going to be a great season because if Lewis wins, it's setting a new record for championships won. And if Max wins, it will be like 2005. A massive mega czar will come tumbling down. So this is shaping up to be a great season. Now, your favorite driver, Lewis, did get the fastest lap courtesy of making a second pit stop on, I think it was like lap 69 of 71. And very impressively, shockingly, his teammate was able to hold off Sergio Perez to get on the podium. But, sir, what was disappointing when the global feed started, the rain that was forecasted was nowhere to be seen. And I think that would have mixed up the things. But, you know, no matter what happens, the scenery will remain the same. If it's not Lewis winning, it will be Max. And if Max is not winning, it's going to be Lewis. So we'll see how it goes. So, but I enjoyed the race, and obviously it was not as thrilling as the other races. And as it was pointed out on the Beeb podcast, this was the first race of the season where we had a clear winner. In all other races, he could have won, he should have won. But this was like, basically, Red Bull Honda is now turning into the Silver Arrows of not too long ago. I mean, pretty soon we will know who's going to win the race before the race starts.
Wow. Are you saying that now we're almost bored with Max winning all the time? I'm going, come on. Let's enjoy this. Let's suck it up. It takes me 3 or 4 years to be bored with a winning driver like Fernando Alonso. So hopefully Max is charming. He does need to work on his dance when he gets out of the car and wins the Grand Prix. He can't just flex his muscles. He's got to do something more exciting like Fernando, you know, the beast or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember the moves Nando used to make. But, you know, you're calling him charming, and that's what everybody thought of Sebastian Vettel when he first came on the scene. But it's going to take a championship or two and Max winning 16, 17 races every year. And then people are going to say, oh, he's arrogant, he's this, he's just got the best car. So we've seen all these scenarios before. But I'm really looking forward to a lot of things this season, you know. Max winning would be great, Lewis winning would be great. He is just a win or two away from 100 Grand Prix races, wins. I'm really, really looking forward to that. And we got some great tracks coming up. Silverstone, Monza is not too far. Spa-Francorchamps, and hopefully there will be Suzuka also. So, and I bought my ticket to go to the Austin Grand Prix, so I'm really looking forward to seeing Formula One cars and hear the Hoover engines for the first time in 2 years. But sir, going back to the race on Sunday, shall we do a quickie on Colli?
Por favor.
Okay, gracias. Or danke, as they say in Austria. Ocon out in Q1 was a surprise, while his teammate El Machismo was 11th, which was very impressive. Max was fastest in Q1 as he was in FP1 and FP2. Sergio Perez was numero uno in Q2 and looking very habanero. George Russell almost made it to Q3 for the first time as a Williams driver, and that would have been very, very impressive. And then came Q3. Girls on film, Max on pole. What else is new? Bottas out-qualified his teammates Lewis, but thanks to 3-place grid penalty, had to give the front row to LCH. How sad is that for Finlandia? Now, according to him, penalty was at the request of McLaren team after he spun in front of their pit box in free practice. And when I saw that, Clark, I said, man, this guy cannot get a break. Spinning in practice in the pit lane. Now, the race stewards decided to give him the penalty because, listen to this, he was guilty of potentially dangerous driving as personnel were around. I think, just a personal opinion, that penalty was harsh and their reasoning was a load of hogwash. What do you think of this penalty, sir?
I laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. It's part of the Bottas karma package. If you need explaining, ask Fernando.
Oh, yes. He can explain a lot of things. And we'll talk about that later in the show. Okay, sir. The second row featured the ever-improving Lando Norris for McLaren and the second Red Bull of Checo. Bottas then had to share row 3 with Gasly. Row 4 featured the only Ferrari in the top 10 with Charles Leclerc and Yuki Tsunoda, making it 4 Honda-powered cars in the top 8. They sure have come a long way. And row 5 was the Alpine ace, El Machismo and Lance Stroll. Anything that caught your attention during qualifying, sir?
I hardly ever even wash the first 20 minutes. I actually do the dishes or something and listen to it.
Yes, and the race. What do you think of the race, sir? Was that exciting for you?
I'm telling you, one thing we know for sure, Max's starts are extremely consistent, almost perfect. And I like how he cuts across, tells LCH, the testicles are now in play, leave me alone. And he took off, and it was a very well-managed race. He dominated the race. Let me put it this way. Max Verstappen is the new Dutch Red Light District, LCH.
Oh, wow. Very, very, very impressive. Very exciting. And, you know, he started from Red Bull's first pole position at their own track. The way he is going, only a Kablamo or self-destruction a la Interlagos and Ocon will prevent him from becoming the first ever Dutch world champion. His only concern during the race was brake pad, and the team advised him to stay off the curbs. At one stage, it looked like Mercedes may change to a two-stop strategy, which they ultimately did, but only for the fastest lap. But Red Bull and Max had the situation well under control, as Max had a decent cushion over LCH. This is his third win at the Red Bull Ring, an overall number 14 in the Young Life and very fast times of Max Verstappen. Mighty Max leads the championship with 156 points. Now, four consecutive wins for Red Bull means this is the first time in the hybrid era Mercedes has gone four races without a win. And, you know, it could have been very easily four wins in a row for him. And according to Dr. Marco, who is never at loss for words, Max is not driving. He is flying. So he's the new Flying Dutchman. It was good to see Dr. Marco on the podium to receive the Constructors' Trophy. It was at this track, then known as Österreichring, 50 years ago, that Dr. Marco raced in Formula One for the first time. Sir, any thoughts on Dr. Marco on the podium and what can we expect down the road? I mean, it's only a few days before we have another race at the same venue.
Yes, my first thoughts about Dr. Marco being on the podium is, please, doctor, wear an undershirt. I don't want to see that ever again in my life. Second, since you're going to be winning a lot, please tell your entire staff to wear undershirts under white shirts. It's just more civilized. But other than that, I like Dr. Marco. His machete is bringing another Red Bull winning history story. And the best part is Vettel is looking from afar going, oh, the memories.
Yes, and Lewis, Sir Hamilton may have settled for second, as he had no other choice, but his record-setting career continues. It was the 43rd second-place finish for him, equaling another milestone set by Michael Schumacher. The way things are going, he may break that record this coming weekend at the same track, because I don't think he's going to win the race, but we shall see. In the post-race interview, he said, "We need to find more performance from somewhere." He is now 18 points behind Max in the championship. While we still have a lot of races to run, you know, we have 15 races to go, which not too long ago used to be the full season. But I think the heat has to be on him, despite him saying he's not thinking about it. Going down 25 or more points down on Max will require a non-scoring race for Max, but LCH is the winner, which should not be a problem to stay in the championship hunt. We are not even halfway through the season, so there is hope and hopefully more wins for Hamilton in the coming races. And like I said, I am very much looking forward to his century of wins, not as Lewis lover boy, but as a lifelong passionate fan of Formula One. And Mr. Rogers, my motorsports agenda is very simple. Appreciate history and don't argue with success. After the second race in Austria this coming Sunday, the turning point of the season could be in Hamilton's backyard. Round 10 is at Silverstone, and given the pace shown by Honda Power at Paul Ricard, it will not be a surprise if Max wins the British Grand Prix. That'll be the day, and all of Holland will go holly jolly. What say you?
You're absolutely right. I think we're going to see the Dutch go absolutely mad, especially if Max takes control of this championship by winning several more races in the upcoming weeks. And then all of a sudden, the world will turn orange.
And you know, when he becomes world champion, this orange entourage is going to be very, very big and vocal. You know, I was at the 2000, this was the last F1 race I was at, 2019 the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. And there was a very large group of Dutch fans, and I actually had a chat with one of them. And so that will be interesting. Remember when Mika and Kimi were winning, there was always a flock of Finns going to all the races, dancing in Kuala Lumpur and all that. So it's the Orange Revolution coming. Okay, sir, now we come to Bottas. He did regain some brownie points for Toto by preventing two Red Bull drivers on the podium. I think even if he had started from the front row, if the penalty was not dished out, he was not going to win the race and most likely would have finished in the same spot. In eight races so far this season, Bottas has been on the podium four times, each time in third place. In the championship, he is fifth with 74 points. So he's been on the podium four times, no second place, no win, And Max has 4 wins, so there's not a big difference between great drivers and good drivers, but it's there for everyone to see. Checo, Sergio Perez was 4th. He has now finished all races except Imola in the top 5, so that's very impressive. He is 3rd in the championship with 96 points. As many expected, Checo has delivered the medicine Dr. Marco could not get from Albon and Gasly. And about Pierre Gasly, he once said, Gasly does not like to overtake. Sir, are you satisfied, happy, excited with Checo's performance as a Red Bull driver?
I am. It's a tough thing, you know, to just jump into a new team that's completely different culture, new culture. And I think Checo adapts extremely well, and he deserves the golden in-flight burrito.
Yes, and DC has called the number 2 seat in Formula 1, and I totally agree with him, the least desirable seat in Formula 1. I mean, who the hell in his right mind would think that he can go into Red Bull and beat Max Verstappen? It's just not going to happen, not with the drivers we have on the grid this year. But, you know, every dog has its day, and let's have the Dutch dog bark as long as he may and win as long as he may, and then we will see changing of the tide, hopefully in our lifetime, down the road. Okay, sir, now we come to Lando Norris. He looked very racy in the early goings of the race and continues his fine form of finishing every race this season in the points. He also scored points in the final 5 races of the 2020 season. As far as prize money from points is concerned for McLaren, Lando is bringing home the bacon and kidney pudding. Sunday's race saw him take his 3rd consecutive 5th place finish, helping him to stay 4th in the championship. Then came the prancing horses. Carlito qualified 12th and made up 6 places by the end of the race. His teammate, Charlie Leclerc, as Martin Brundle calls him, had an eventful day. He was involved in argy-bargy on the opening lap, which resulted in cut tire and DNF for Pierre Gasly, and dropped Leclerc to 17th, but he rode back to finish 7th, which was a very good showing. He called his comeback drive one of my best performances in F1, and his efforts were awarded by F1 fans who voted him driver of the day. Both Ferraris and the points was the result Scuderia needed, as they were pointless in the previous race at Paul Ricard, the French Grand Prix. Stroll 8. He has been doing an impressive job against a 4-time world champion. Sir, are you impressed by Lance Stroll, how he has stood up against a big-name teammate?
Yeah, I mean, he's doing pretty good, but on the other hand, Vettel is sort of not doing that great, so it sort of pans out.
And now we come to El Machismo. Fernando Alonso, he was 9th. The hombre who humbled and shot down the Red Baron now fights for a point or 2. His career should be a case study for all super talented young drivers who are racing towards Formula 1. Don't burn the bridge on River Kwai, or you may have a lean career. And as Miss Lynn Anderson said in a song, there won't always be someone to pull you through. And of course, as much as Flavio has done for Nando, he can't be there all the time. Now, one such fast-moving driver is the man who picked up the final championship point on Sunday, Yuki Tsunoda-san. Like Christian Okoye was the Nigerian nightmare in NFL, Yuki is the Tokyo tsunami in the world of motor racing. It was very good. He finished the race and picked up a point for AlphaTauri after Gasly's early exit, because when, you know, in the closing stages, I was thinking if this guy does a Maldonado, Christian Horner and Dr. Marco would be supremely pissed off at him that throwing away a point in the closing stages. So overall, how do you look back at the race, sir?
Fantastic race. Fantastic. I loved every minute of it. It was a little processional, but that's the price you pay for domination all across the nation.
Yes, and it definitely, you know, it's getting to a point, like unless the past several seasons, you knew who was going to be on pole, and it was really obvious who was going to be the race winner. Now, even if one driver gets the pole position, you still have to watch the race and check out the strategy to see who will win the race. So this is a very, very exciting season. And I hope most of the races are as exciting as we had the French Grand Prix and some of the races. Sir, some points to ponder. Red Bull now leads Mercedes. This is very impressive, by 40 points in the Constructors' Championship. And Max has extended his lead on Hamilton to 18 points. Which, you know, it's very impressive, nice cushion, but all it takes in one DNF. And but let me tell you something. Now that LCH is 18 points down, if he's not winning, Max will win. And if Max is not winning, most likely it will be LCH. But Lewis cannot afford to have a DNF now, because that will just, that will pretty much do that. His dishes will be done if he has a DNF and Max goes on to win. So we'll see. Now, this is a big disappointing and a big mystery for me. Daniel Ricciardo was 13, and his race pace was noticeably slower than teammate Lando Norris. Do you think that, you know, like planes when they're flying at 40,000 feet and then the captain makes the announcement, we have started our descent into JFK or ORD? Do you think with all these team changes and moving around that DR has now started his descent?
I believe the descent has begun. He has already talked about not really loving the sport that much. And this is what happens when you're not winning. When you're not winning, all of a sudden you're making goofy things. I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but right after qualifying and they interviewed the drivers, they were talking to Max. And behind Max, you could see LCH going back and forth, talking to his helper, his personal assistant. And going back the other way, going back the other way. Then all of a sudden, he shows up wearing a mask where nobody else did the interview in a mask. It was very bizarre, but people start behaving strangely when they're losing. Even P2 for some people is a bizarre world. And for Ricciardo, it's going downhill. He's not seeing a championship in his future. And what happens is you're watching Bottas number 2 disintegrate. He's watching Lando Norris dominate at McLaren, and he's seeing his career being flushed down the toilet.
Which is a shame, you know, for a great talent that he is. I mean, he's the guy who went 3-0 against Sebastian, when Sebastian was the Swami of Formula One. So I'm very, very disappointed, and it would have been great to have a world champion from Australia. And, you know, last time they had a world champion was what, Jonesy Boy in 1980. But the way things are going, it's just, I mean, I was hoping he would find a way to win a race, because if he can get on the podium in the Renault with the Mercedes package and the McLaren, I was hoping he would maybe get a lucky win, but this is very, very disappointing. And, you know, if this continues, then he just may lose the that even the desire to, you know, make things happen. And but, you know, the good thing is there is a very talented Aussie in Formula 2. He might come and he's part of the Renault Driver Development Program, Oscar Piastri. So we'll see how it works out. Next. Boy George must be singing to Lady Luck, "Do you really want to hurt me?" Once again, he put in a performance that will put another question mark on Bottas' time at Mercedes. Russell was on his way to his first ever point as a Williams driver before retiring due to technical issues. And you know, as I've said before, he did an absolutely fantastic job in Sakhir as teammate to Bottas, and obviously made Bottas look very bad. But I think, you know, once he's teammate, and there's no guarantee that he will be next season, but sooner or later he will be, I think he's going to find out that LCH is a tougher nut to crack than Bottas. But then again, he might do to Lewis what Lewis did to his teammate in 2007. So do you think George Russell going into Mercedes, do you think he will rattle the cage of Lewis Hamilton?
I do. Lewis Hamilton is not a young man anymore. You could just tell by the way he reacts to not winning all the time. He's not, it's a completely different guy. He's not, it's not 2011, 7 or whatever. Lewis Hamilton is a different person. He's grown, he's developed, he's got new interests, and life changes all of us.
Well, nobody wants to lose. I remember Senna very well when Williams was coming on very strong, and it was pretty obvious that they were going to win quite a few races. You know, he was a very different personality than when all he had to do was worry about Alain Prost as a teammate. So these things happen. I don't recall Schumacher being very excited when they were not winning races at Ferrari. It took him several years before they got their championship. But, you know, I read a news item, and, you know, anybody in this day and age can post anything, that Lewis Hamilton may retire at the end of this season, which I don't think is going to happen. But if he loses the championship this year and comes back next season or 2024 and regain the crown, I mean, that's going to be a great achievement also. But some people will still say, oh, it was in the best car. Like Max Verstappen is winning in AlphaTauri. Excusez-moi.
No, I was just going to say the best car does win. I mean, that's just the way it is. Mercedes is not the best car anymore.
Okay. So you do agree with Toto Wolff and Max Lewis on this now?
I've always agreed with the best car, the best package. That's always been the case. It always will be the case. Now, don't get me wrong. It's nothing more exciting to watch a car that has no business winning win, but we're not in that kind of an era right now.
Yeah, and you know, this track has the fewest corners of any track, but I was surprised they had 3 DRS zones, so good for them. And Styria is the region, of course, where the track is located, hence the name Styrian Grand Prix, and the natives call the region Steiermark, which I think is a very nice name. Now, talking of Lewis Hamilton and possibly not winning the championship, well, slings and arrows are already flying towards the Mercedes star. And as they say, everyone wants to kick a lion that is going down. And many are predicting regime change in Formula One this year. So let's take a look at some of the slings and arrows coming towards Lewis Hamilton. Now, this is from Austrian newspaper Kronen Zeitung. After Max's victory in Francia, Max conquered another piece of Mercedes territory. Interesting. And very true. Spain's AS declared, Hamilton is no longer the boss. At least they thought in Spain that he was the boss, so that's interesting. Italian newspaper, and by the way, I got this information from GrandPrix.com, so credit where it's due. Okay, Italian newspaper La Gazzetta dello Sport reported, Verstappen's victory is an alarm for Mercedes. And Corriere dello Sport, which is another Italian newspaper, this is interesting. And I wonder what Max thinks about this. They're calling Max the new Hamilton, adding the boredom of a Formula One tailor-made for Mercedes is over. Another Italian newspaper, Corriere della Sera, observed, Formula Max scares Hamilton. Hamilton is the heroic image of a driver who is not used to fighting so hard to stay on top. With this form, Verstappen cannot be stopped. But then again, you know, it's not Hamilton's fault that his teammates who are championship-winning drivers in junior formulae cannot rattle his cage. So one cannot hold that against LCH. Now, Finnish newspaper Ilta Sanomat said, what has happened to Mercedes? Their championships were built not only on the best car, but also the best team. Red Bull has overtaken them. And Dutch racing driver Tom Coronel said, I only see Mercedes doing one thing, panic. Lewis Hamilton, Valtteri Bottas, Toto Wolff. They point to Red Bull's wings all sorts of the wrong things. They are under very intense pressure. Just look at the swearing from Bottas and the doubts of Hamilton. Now, needless to say, Mr. Rogers, Dr. Marco is in total agreement with all this media rambling. And he said, who or what can stop us? Only technical problems can stop Max. Or if Mercedes conjures up a magic trick. Time will tell if Hamilton will turn into Houdini and surprise everyone like Kimi and Ferrari in 2007. Any thoughts from you, sir?
Fascinating, fascinating, fascinating. I love all of this, but it is indeed strange to see the pendulum swing so quickly, even though it took many, many years for this to develop. It's still not in cement. Let's not jump to conclusions. Mercedes is still the dominant Mercedes company that they are and were. It's only been a few races. Let's see what happens. But the exciting thing is Max is so pumped up. Red Bull is so pumped up that it's really going to be hard to hold them off.
Yeah, and you know, Dr. Marco also said that Honda will support, provide technical assistance to Red Bull for the next 2 years, of course, for a fee. And then they will have their own engine. So this could be a very good run of success for Max and Red Bull. We will see what the fight back or the counterattack will be from Mercedes. And what really is going to help Red Bull now, especially Max, if his teammate can get between Max and LCH, that will make life much easier for Max.
Outstanding, Nas. Keep up the good work. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back after these brief messages.
State troopers are on duty 24 hours a day. When one goes off duty, another goes on and may use the same car. Since 1972, more than 90 trooper cars using Haviland Super Premium All-Temperature Motor Oil were driven over 4 million miles. Of the engines taken apart, none showed any sign of unusual wear. With Haviland's formulation, you get all this protection without buying any extra motor oil additives. Get Haviland Super Premium Motor Oil.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you again, sir. And we shall stay in Austria for some Formula W. Which was also happening at the Red Bull Ring this past weekend. Alice Powell was the winner, and this was the season opener, like I said, and a lady by the name of Sarah Moore was second. Defending champion Jamie Chadwick was seventh. All three ladies are from UK, which shouldn't surprise anyone. Sabre Cook from Colorado is representing USFA, and she was 15th. Now we go to sports car racing at Watkins Glen, upstate New York. Victory went to the Mazda of longtime F1 Weekly friend Harry Tinknell. His co-drivers were Jonathan Bomarito, who is originally from Monterey, California, and Oliver Jarvis. He is Harry's fellow Brit and a very good driver, I must say. F1 flavor included Felipe Nasr in fourth, followed by Kamui Kobayashi in fifth, and Kevin Magnussen was 6th. MotoGP from Assen in the Netherlands. This place is to MotoGP what Monza is to F1. And sir, watching a MotoGP race at this track is very high on my agenda. Race was won by a French rider, Fabio Quartararo, on a Monster-sponsored Yamaha. Win number 4 of the season. Spanish rider Maverick Vinales was 2nd. Also on a Yamaha, and his compadre Johan Mir was 3rd. And it just came out, I think, today that Maverick Vinales will leave Yamaha. Marc Marquez was 7th from 20th on the grid. And of course, when the next race takes place, we shall cover. Mr. Rogers, I have a question for you. You know, Renault, Alpine, and Peugeot, they all have been very, very successful in rallying events. Have you followed rallying over the years?
I have. I love it. Every minute of it. Sebastian Loeb, who's now in Extreme E. But yeah, I mean, who doesn't like rallying? It's laughs, fun, and adventure.
Yeah, you know, when I started following motorsports with rallying before I got hooked on Phoenix and F1. One of the major races was the East African Safari Rally. In those days, it would go through Kenya, Tanzania and Uganda, but now it's just Kenya, and they call it Rally of Kenya. But anyway, I call it Safari Rally, and this was won by your homie, Sebastian Ogier, in a Toyota Yaris. His fellow Toyota Yaris teammate from Japan, Takamoto Katsuta, was second, and the Estonian racer or rally driver Ottanak was third for Hyundai. Ogier leads the championship, 133 points over English rally driver, I should say, Elfyn Evans. He is on 99 points, and third is Thierry Neuville, 77 points. Toyota leads the team championship with 273 points over second place Hyundai on 214 points. Okay, sir, this is now we go back to Formula One for some interesting information. Red Bull does press release for Aston Martin. I don't know if you saw this on in the press conference, but Aston Martin might not get its hands on new technical director Dan Fellows for years, according to Red Bull mouthpiece Mr. Christian Horner. On Friday, Red Bull shocked the Austrian Grand Prix paddock by announcing and preempting Aston Martin that they have poached its longtime aerodynamics chief. Dan will not be departing until the conclusion of his contract. And Christian Horner was asked by Dieter Rankin, who's a very well-known journalist, originally from South Africa. And I see him when I go to the races. He asked him, when is the conclusion of the contract, date-wise? Christian Horner said, it'll be several years. So I don't know what they will do to keep him, but I will follow the story also. And in 2014, the same guy, Fellows, signed up to leave Red Bull and join McLaren, but that thing ended up in a legal issue. Then, you know, Red Bull kept him and gave him a nice pay raise with the promotion. So we'll see how this thing works out. Next, this is interesting, and this is where I'm happy about this because I don't like the current location. Comrade Putin to have a Grand Prix in his backyard. The Russian Grand Prix will move from Sochi Autodrome to Igora Drive from 2023. This is confirmed now, which is located just outside St. Petersburg, a city with great museum and history. Hopefully, this time, the Germans, i.e. Mercedes F1 operation, will be successful in their siege. But maybe Max will steal the thunder. Sir, do we have time for... You know, let's do it this way. This is history of the Austrian Grand Prix, so we'll do it next week.
Okay, I like that. We need some stuff next week because we got racing this weekend.
Yeah, so anything else you want to talk about?
No, I mean, I'm really happy that Max dominated this Grand Prix. I think it's going to be a little bit different this weekend where Toto really has to get back in the hunt because all of a sudden the hunter is now the hunted and they don't like that. So it's going to be interesting how Toto rallies his team. Will they do a bunch of high fives and sing Kumbaya and get this team back in winning position? It'll be very interesting because I believe they have the pace, but they have such psychological issues right now that it's just unimaginable that they could get their act together. But anyway, it's going to happen. Interesting, but now we have the Austrian Grand Prix this weekend. It's going to be fantastic because I have a funny feeling the tables will be turned.
Well, you know, apparently Toto Wolff has gone on record saying that they were allocating their resources and focus on the 2022 car, so they're not going to bring any new developments on this car, which I find it hard to believe, but maybe most of the focus is on the next season already, or maybe that is a good party line to toe, so you don't look too bad when you get beaten by somebody. But, you know, nothing is forever, and now and then these things happen. But it'll be interesting to see how Lewis will fight back because, you know, now he has a lot of experience. And this is something where I was disappointed when Ricciardo left Red Bull. He had enough experience and savvy and racecraft to win races against Max as a teammate. Sometime you just get some lucky breaks and you can win the championship against a, let's say, more talented or a little bit faster driver. So I'm curious how Lewis will... The thing now, you know, the engines are so reliable for almost everybody that you cannot just say you cannot do cruise and collect. You know, like Nico Rosberg was able to do against Lewis, because, and that was really because he won the first four races. But this season is interesting. I think Lewis won the first three of the four races, but the season is so long, 23 races, that is more than enough time for somebody to go all the way and snatch the championship at the goal line. And the goal line is in, drawn in the sand in Abu Dhabi.
Okay, famous last words?
We have famous last words. Okay, let's see what we have today. Oh, yes. Today they come from beleaguered Bottas. Thank you for reminding me. After spinning on Friday in practice and subsequent three-place grid penalty, he said, and I quote, "But of course, other teams, when they see the opportunity, they complain that it was dangerous so that we would get penalized. That's how it goes. Everyone is always trying to screw you over in this sport." End of quote. And, you know, I saw him say that, and he was obviously disappointed that this thing came down. But when he says everybody is trying to screw you over in this sport, you know, everybody for him is Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen, and that's where his real problem is. Okay, sir, we're going to end Motorsports Mondial with Musical Mondial. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart came from Salzburg. He is one of the most famous composers, and here is a pop version of his Symphony No. 40, which I absolutely love and is a very beautiful tune. And here is Miss Sylvie Vartan from Francia singing in Italian. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy. Auf Wiedersehen till Austria again.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Trascina in un mondo incantato, dove regna la tua fantasia, dove suoni dolcemente la tua musica per sempre, caro amore mio. Sulle ali di un grande vascello sto volando lontano con te, sopra un mare di azzurro cristallo, dove il tempo per sempre non c'è. E mi sembra di partire per un viaggio senza fine e volare, volare con te in un mondo che non c'è. Se il mio cuore si copre di ghiaccio e l'amore che cerco non c'è, se nel mondo mi sento straniera, io mi chiedo la vita cos'è. Vieni, prendimi per mano e poi portami lontano dove non lo so. Sulle ali di un grande vascello sto volando lontano con te, sopra un mare di azzurro cristallo, dove il tempo per sempre non c'è.
Caro Mozart, quando ascolto la tua musica, io dimentico tutto, tutti i dispiaceri, tutti i ricordi brutti, i giorni di pioggia, gli amori finiti.
paura nell'aria e racchiude una grande magia. Mi trascina in un mondo incantato dove regna la tua fantasia, dove suoni dolcemente la tua musica per sempre, caro amore mio.